making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
I want to thank you today for joining us here at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and today we are asking the great question, what has God chosen to grant faith in the heart of the believer? That's such an important question in our day. And of course, one of the great convictions that arose out of the Protestant Reformation was the truth that faith itself is one of the gifts that Christ secured for us when he went to the cross. Faith, of course, is the instrument, the chosen instrument that God has determined to work through to bless so that you might receive all of Jesus' benefits. But I guess we have to start by saying God being propitiated wasn't determined upon our own faith, our own choosing of Jesus. We say that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was an objective forensic event. But when Christ went to the cross and secured salvation for the Christian, a reward of that grand salvation was the promise that God would give to all of us who are believers hearts of faith, hearts that truly believe, hearts that trust that and lean upon Jesus alone for our salvation. But as you and I well know today, salvation has been sort of treated like a great bank. And in the bank, we are told there lies everything that Christ has done for you. And what we sort of have to do is draw out these benefits. They are there. And with our faith, we either go to the bank and draw out salvation, or we just leave it there. The problem, of course, with this view is that it assumes that it is my faith that gives the cross its power. This, of course, presupposes that Christ's sacrifice for me is pleasing to the Father only because I have somehow activated it by faith. And so faith today is sort of viewed like a great light switch in all of us, that we either turn it on or turn it off as we please. Well, one of the things that we say is that it is by faith alone that one is right with God. That is the truth of Protestant Christianity. And of course, what we state in that is that our faith, it's not any value that my faith has that makes me right with God. It's only Jesus Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness that make me right with God. And so we have to confess, my friends, that our act of believing in the gospel and believing in Jesus doesn't give the cross its power. What the Father accepted was in no way based on us. It was the satisfaction of his Son that pleased him and pacified his wrath against us. But the way that we receive all these benefits of Christ is by faith alone. And we confess that God grants us saving faith as a gift of his grace. God grants us believing hearts by his mercy and his love for us. God grants us the outstretched arm to receive Jesus and all of his graces. Now, the question then, and this is where all that intro is going, the question for us is, where does faith come from? You know, if I took the typical Christian viewpoint today, we are told, well, faith is sort of in everyone, and according to their own volition and their own free will, they can sort of activate their faith in their own right and receive Jesus. Well, if we believe that, the question then becomes very mute, doesn't it? And very void. There's no need to ask the question, where does faith come from? Well, we would say it comes from our own free wills, people would say. It springs from our own hearts then. Well, what does that produce if we hold to that view, my friends? If you really think about that viewpoint, every time it will produce a very low view of anything that God is doing. Lest he somehow infringe upon our wills. And so today, almost across the board, there is a low view of preaching. There's a low view of the sacraments, which are typically held out to be something that they're not. There's a low view of the church, because at the end of the day, none of these things have the real power and the real ability to affect my autonomous free will. And that's the common thought today. But let me say, in contrast to that, to really grasp what the Bible says about faith, that it is a gift that comes from God's grace and God's mercy to us, the question then, where does faith come from, takes on a whole new meaning. Begin to see that faith is a gift of God's grace that He gives to those for whom Christ has purchased on the cross, and you will begin to say, what has God chosen then to produce that faith in my heart? And if He's the one that has chosen and gives that faith freely, let me tend to the means that He has chosen to give it to me. Begin to see your deadness and your sin and your misery apart from Jesus. Begin to feel the weight of your own sin. Begin to see with God's eyes how fallen we really are and how lost this world is, how very much we are in need of redemption. We are turned away again and again from ourselves to the question, Lord, if you are the one who can reach down and give me a heart of faith to believe in Jesus, how do you do it? What is the methods that you have chosen to produce and work faith in the heart? You see, my friends, I think that we have undervalued God's means so much today. And we can see that this is true simply by asking the question, what do you think strengthened your spiritual life? How are you being nourished and how are you growing in Christ? You see, that question today, almost 10 out of 10 would say, well, I do personal devotions. I pray. And those are very good things, aren't they? Those, all Christians should do them. They should do their devotions. They should pray to the Lord. They should read the Bible. However, would I hear anybody say today, I tend to the means of grace. I tend to what God has chosen to produce faith in me. We first look at ourselves, don't we? Because we just don't want to give much credence to what God actually does for us. If there's something that you have chosen to give one faith and to strengthen one's faith until Christ comes, then our response should be, O Lord, let me never reject it. Because then I know that what you have chosen to produce in my heart is real. Well, today we take up the subject of the means of grace, the means that God has chosen to work and produce faith in the hearts, in our hearts. And there are two things that I want to consider in light of this great discussion. First, we want to see that it is the Holy Spirit's work in producing faith in our hearts. But second, that God has specifically chosen certain things to work through to produce this faith in our hearts. You know, I believe strongly in our day, in American fundamentalism and American evangelicalism, there is a strong need to again and again be reminded of just what needs to happen to dead hearts through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. There needs to again be a fresh dose of the sovereignty of God in salvation. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We have lost that in autonomous free will America, where everyone is sort of the captain of their own ship. So that, of course, is not the perspective the Bible gives. This was the very first thing that Jesus emphasized with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and that's the passage I want to work through in the next few days. Remember what Jesus asked Nicodemus after they had rehearsed these fine theological points. Are you a teacher in Israel, said Jesus, and do not know these things? And when we look at the things that Jesus was rehearsing with Nicodemus, we know that he could not understand why or even how one is born again. Nicodemus had come to Jesus, and he had said in verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus, of course, is thinking and he's wrestling with just who Jesus is. He can't quite understand all of this. And that's the exact thing that Jesus raises. He wants Nicodemus to think very carefully about why he can't understand who Jesus is. And so Jesus answers and he says to him, Most assuredly, now listen to this, friends. It's a very important passage. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, many of you know that born again is often the key phrase used in Christianity today, and rightly so. You must be born again. In fact, Billy Graham wrote a book one time, How to Be Born Again. But the question that I read the John 3 account with Nicodemus, is Jesus telling Nicodemus how to get born again? Well, as I read this account in John 3, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that unless this new birth happens, unless something happens in the heart, Nicodemus, you will not enter my kingdom. Now, to the Jewish mind, the term new birth meant the change that occurs when a heathen would become a Jew or join the practices and beliefs of a Jew. And with that came the practice of washing with water, what we call baptism. And so Nicodemus answers Jesus, doesn't he? And what is his question? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? But Jesus was saying to Nicodemus what? Was he saying, oh, Nicodemus, you need to go get born again first? You see, here I think we come to the real heart of everything we believe, my friends, about salvation as Christians, and how salvation occurs, and the value that we place on the means that God has chosen to effectually work salvation in our hearts. We're so prone to take a low, man-centered view of salvation. We're prone to look at our own abilities. We're prone to think, well, let me then set myself to be born again. And today, people say that. You can walk an aisle, you can say a prayer, you can do all these things to supposedly get born again. So we often confuse what takes place inwardly with that which takes place outwardly in our lives. And what I'm simply saying today is this. If I believe in Jesus, this is the typical view today, and express faith in him, then that will bring about the new birth. So at the end of the day, we're left with the impression that our faith has some inherent value that leads to our salvation. Well, the consequences of that, my friends, are huge. If you believe that, you will undermine every time and devalue the workings of the Spirit and the means that he has chosen to work with. See, what Jesus is teaching all of us today is that the act of regeneration, the new birth that he works in the Spirit, is done by his grace and his grace alone. He gives it as a free gift, and that's something that he must do, and that's what makes salvation so glorious. So then, my friends, think about this today. We're going to take this up again tomorrow. What does it mean to be born again? And when we think about it, all the glory, all the power, all the mercy, all the attribution goes to God alone. And that means then that we must listen and we must tend diligently to what he says he works through to produce faith in our hearts.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429 or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.